I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And we have another show for you. We did our post-Christmas show last time. This show is the post-Christmas show. You could have guessed that, I guess. Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes. By the way, I have gum again. This time I think I will just smack it carelessly. So you'll just have to deal with that. I just put it in my mouth. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? You don't want to just take it out immediately because you lose all the goody. The sweetness. Which, by the way, this is Juicy Fruit Gum. For those of you that are interested in such things, I know most of you are going, who cares? Okay. You must be related to Fred, right, Fred? No, true. Nobody is related to Fred. It's one of the advantages of being an imaginary friend. He has no relations. No uncles, no aunts. No other kinds of bugs. Ants, get it? A lot of people say aunt, but ants. If you're from the South, you have ants. And some other kinds of bugs. But anyway, I digress. The point is, Fred is an imaginary friend, as most of you know. P-H-R-E-D, correct pronunciation and spelling. Spelling and pronunciation, whatever I mean. Fred has no gum. No, I didn't offer him any. He couldn't have chewed it anyway. He's imaginary. Get over yourself, Fred. Wow. He's nasty. Anyway. Where was I headed? Oh, yes. I was going to remind you, early in the show, I was going to remind you that I would like for you to join our Facebook group. Yes, Virginia, there is, and everyone else, there is a Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon Facebook group, which is available at this address. Note, the lower third. See? So, check that out. Basically, Facebook.com groups Dr. Bill CC for Computer Curmudgeon. Okay? So I'd encourage you to join our Facebook group. You'll get announcements of things like the stuff I'm working on in the show. And, of course, postings of when the shows come out. And those kinds of things. You'll also get that if you follow my Twitter account, which I'd encourage you to do that. Twitter account is easy. I've got that up on the screen now as well. At DrBillBailey. Dr. Bill Bailey. The doctor, of course, DR. There's no dot. It's just DrBillBailey. Okay. So that is my Twitter address. So I encourage you to follow me on Twitter as well because I will very often post things like the articles that I'm getting the show information from, or little thoughts, witticisms, and other things of interest. So check that out. Further, if you'd like to help the show, which I hope you will, if you'd like to help the show by being a patron, I encourage you to check us out on patreon.com. And here's that address. Okay, patreon.com/Dr. Bill, DrBill. Okay, And of course, all this information is available on our website, which is drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. Some of you could say that with me as well as I can, because you've heard me say it over and over and over again. But I want to share all this information with you because it is stuff that will help you to stay on top of the techiness and the geekiness and the silliness that is the Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon Show. All right, let's go to the blog, the aforementioned drbill.tv blog, where I'm talking about my new Chromebook Flip. This was my big Christmas present. I have a lot of other Christmas presents, which I've already shared with you. Things like my stand for my new Pixel Chromebook 2. And let's see, my shininess there. The keyboard vacuum cleaner. And, lots of things here, including my chewing gum. All of which I got for Christmas. It's still here on the table. This is my table opening presents, where I opened all my presents. That's why they're still here, sadly. Oh, here's something I haven't showed yet. If I could get it out from under all this other stuff. Yike. I moved my camera, of course. Move that back. The Wallet Ninja. The Wallet Ninja is a tool that screwdriver, letter opener, nail puller, inch ruler, centimeter ruler, bottle opener, can opener, more screwdrivers, hex head and nut bolts, and cell phone stand all in one. Gotta love the techiness of that. What can I say? My wife knows me well. All these techie things. You can slide that in your pocket to have all these tools at your disposal. Anyway, I was talking about the Chromebook Flip. All right? Now, the Chromebook Flip that I got is a Chromebook Flip C101PADB02. 10.1-inch touchscreen OP1. It has 4 gig of RAM, a ROC chip RK3399 quad-core, 2 gigahertz processor, and USB-C ports. And as I mentioned before, I particularly like the USB-C ports because that is the connector of choice these days, and it is the connector that I use to charge my Pixel 2 as well. So much goodness there. Next item, CES 2018 is coming. It's almost here. It is coming soon. The last year, the big deal was smartphones, okay? This year, there'll be some new announcements in that arena, of course. However, there are going to be some pretty big expectations in the electric car arena, as well as smart home technology and robotics. Going to be some stuff happening in robotics. In fact, as I say here in the article, I wouldn't be surprised if robotics and smart home technology. Those of you that have seen Melody Sheep's video will know why I grinned when I said technology. Go look it up. Melody Sheep's site, look for the little thing that he does about technology. Anyway, smart home technology mixed with robotics. I think there'll be some announcements in that arena, as well as yes, Fred, you are right. My tongue needs to be pruned. Granny Clampett was correct. No, my tongue is fine. It's the gum. The gum. We're going to blame the gum for that one. Okay. Wearable technology is also going to be big, particularly in health monitoring that will be available via smartwatches, which is something that's already a thing, but I expect it will be an even bigger thing at CES 2018. Okay, next item. The Nintendo Switch is the fastest selling video game console of all time. Yes. In the United States, that is. Okay. Let's clarify. And we did get the Game Master one. The Game Master, as you know, is my son. And he loves it. He says that Super Mario Odyssey is the best game on the Nintendo Switch. And he says it rocks. Best game of the year. Everybody should know that. You silly people. Anyway, TechCrunch reports that Nintendo has managed to sell so many of its Nintendo Switch consoles that it's become not only the fastest selling console, but also the fastest selling in the U.S. ever. Beating the record set by the Wii back during its launch, the Switch has sold over 4.8 million units in its first 10 months of availability, which beats out the Wii's 4 million sold during the same initial time frame. Wow. Now, the big news this past week was a security issue that is being called Meltdown and Spectre. Basically, it's a chip vulnerability, CPU itself, and it works on the CPUs directly. It's independent of operating system, but people are writing exploits in those various operating systems, including Windows, Linux, Mac, Android, all of them that use these chips. And what the exploit allows you to do is read the contents of memory on your machine where they can look for passwords that are there ostensibly in clear text, and they can harvest those passwords. Bad, by the way. That's bad, okay? So, Microsoft released a patch for Windows for these vulnerabilities. However, the patch writes things to the registry. And also, because it is kernel level, addresses some things at the kernel. Therefore, there are a lot of antivirus programs that are doing their jobs by protecting your PC from changes at those low levels, including the patch. So it's not allowing the patch to be installed. So the antivirus writers, I'll get it, those folks are scrambling to allow this patch to work. And we'll talk more about that as we go along. There's some other articles that deal with the Meltdown and Spectre patches. So we'll cover that very quickly here as we get to it. Next item, though, is Ajit Pai, who is the head of the FCC chairman. He has announced that he will not be speaking at CES 2018 as planned because he has received death threats. He and his family have been receiving death threats. And, of course, I am not at all pleased about that. I do say in my article here that while I am entirely sympathetic to the danger to him and his family, and I don't blame him for changing his plans about not speaking, however, it does point out how many people have been negatively energized to do something like that, make these kinds of threats, over the issue of net neutrality. People are very serious about net neutrality. So I don't agree with their methods, but I can understand why they are incensed about it, okay? Now, as I said, Congress is talking about addressing this in some legislation that will make, hopefully, this all moot, and hopefully they will guarantee our net neutrality. Comcast, being the evil bunch that they are already creating fast lanes that people can pay extra for and slow lanes that they delegate the rest of us to. Fortunately, I'm not on Comcast. I'm on North State Fiber Optic, which I'm eternally grateful for because North State does an excellent job. You guys at North State, way to go. But they are not throttling our bandwidth, and I do have gigabit up and down. Yes. Apple makes a statement about Meltdown Inspector. At first, Apple was very quiet about Meltdown Inspector. Kind of like they were hoping it would all go away and they wouldn't have to say anything, but they did. They are coming up with patches to defend against the vulnerability. As a matter of fact, they've already released a few. However, it's amazing to me, these vendors like Apple that sit back and don't admit that they are subject to exploits like this where they're in the news and try to kind of hang out and pretend that, nothing to see here. Yeah, right. Come on, folks. The best defense against these kinds of things is lots of free information. So I encourage vendors to be free with your information. Go ahead and fess up. It's not a stigma to have a vulnerability. I mean, particularly in this case, this is a chip-level problem. This has nothing to do with your software, other than the fact that you should be protecting us against the vulnerability once it is discovered. But this issue was discovered back in the spring. So it's taking much too long to come up with a fix for this vulnerability. Okay? Get all on my soapbox there for a minute. HP! That's Hewlett-Packard for those of you in Rio Linda. HP recalls certain notebook batteries because they are creating issues. They're overheating. Bad. Certain lithium-ion batteries are subject to that kind of overheating, and these are, which is bad. HP says the quality and safety of all HP products are our top priority. We recently learned that batteries provided by one of our suppliers for certain notebook computers and mobile workstations present a potential safety concern. We are taking immediate action to address this issue, including a voluntary recall and replacement of the batteries. This action pertains to 0.1% of the HP systems sold globally over the past 2 years. Customers can visit HP's website to learn if their batteries should be replaced. Impacted customers will have their batteries replaced free of charge and may continue safely using their devices by placing the battery in safety mode and connecting to an external power source. Yes, that would be one way of fixing it. Affected models of notebooks include HP ProBooks 64X G2 and G3 series, 65X G2 and G3 series, HP X386 310 G2, HP NVM6, HP Pavilion X360, HP 11, HP ZBook 17 G3 and 17 G4 and Studio G3, and mobile workstations. So there you go. If you have an HP notebook, I would encourage you to check out and see if yours is on the list and get the free battery replacement. All right, Geek Software of the Week. Guess what I just did? I beat Fred to the punch. Oh, he wasn't paying attention. You see, Fred, you must pay attention. Trying to get it in there at the last second. See, falling down on the job. Not saying much about that, are you? Okay. Geek Software of the Week, though, this week is SpecuCheck. SpecuCheck. It is a GitHub Windows utility program that you could use to check your computer to see if the patch that Microsoft released was applied correctly and you are safe from that. They do go on to say, because it involves compiling a C program, it's not for the weak of heart. They do have a caveat here that it is only a research tool, not recommended for general use. And for general use, you should use the Microsoft approved PowerShell module, which is on Microsoft's site. But I thought those geeky among you might want to compile that program and actually check your PC. Most of your PCs are going to have been patched by now. If you are allowing your PC to be patched, that means rebooting when it says I need to reboot. Okay? So you should do that, particularly in this case. All right, does your antivirus stop the Meltdown Spectre patch? We just talked about that earlier. That's why I held off on that, because I knew this article was coming up. There's a link here in the article which gives you a constantly being updated graph. I guess you call it a graph. Chart is probably a better word. A chart that shows you the antivirus programs and which ones have been updated to allow the patch to work correctly. There have been a lot of programs that have blue screened of death, BSOD'd, Windows operating systems because they didn't allow the patch to run. That's bad, okay? So be sure to update your antivirus and then run the patch and be sure you are properly patched. Now, my buddy at work that I had mentioned before, which I don't even work there anymore, but I used to work with him, still a buddy, he put on Facebook that after you install the patch for Meltdown Spectre, Meltdown/Spectre, your PC may run a little bit slower than it used to, which is a shame, but at least you are secure. So I encourage you to run the patch. Okay. And then the final article for this week is Unintended Consequences, Microsoft Breaks Cortana Feature. Cortana had a feature where it would identify songs because they were tied into their product called Groove. Well, they shut down Microsoft Groove. They announced they were going to do that. But what they didn't realize is that it broke the Cortana feature of being able to identify a song. So you play the song and it identified it. Well, it won't work anymore. It's broke. Microsoft basically said, well, sorry. But you can use Spotify to do that, which means, of course, you have to sign up for Spotify. I believe it's Spotify. Let me double check that. Do 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 do. Well, I don't see it now. I thought it said the article that. Here it is. Users can switch over to Spotify after Groove shut down. Spotify apparently will allow this feature to work, but it means you do have to join Spotify. Yada yada yada. Which some people are not excited about doing. For the feature to continue to work. I personally don't care because I know what I'm running song-wise on my PC. I don't need it to identify it for me. Just me. Because I mostly play old stuff that I happen to already have that isn't out there some weird unidentified song. I know what it is. Because I'm a geezer. Just saying. So there you go. That's our show for this week. Trust you enjoyed it. Until next time, remember that the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of drbilldaily.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.